side. I was in a, how do you say, a compromising situation. I ended up shooting and killing my sister, who was younger than I, my half-sister. That happened when I was 8. I guess that's pretty much when it all started. I spent the first year in a psychiatric ward after that, and the year after that, I spent in the Archdeacon Gilfillan Center in Bemidji. I would steal to get attention. I would create conflict wherever I could to get attention. I was battling suicide. I was attempting suicide, trying to get as close as I could to death. I mean, wondering why I'm here, what I've done to deserve to even be here. Sat in the corner and played Russian roulette by myself. And, you know, I was into a self-mutilation. I would cut my arms. I'd take cigarette lighters and burn my arms and then peel the scabs and stitch it, you know, with a needle and thread. Something, I guess I'd seen that on a Sylvester Stallone movie, so I thought I'd be cool and do that. And
say you were a sex addict.
Some people have crutches, you know, some people are alcoholics, some people are addicted to chemicals. I was then addicted to sex. I had to have sex whenever, wherever. I sat 6 months for that, I believe. I was just then beginning to realize some of the things that I had done to people around me. I didn't have a direction, nor did I have enough forethought to see a direction. I just knew that I'd done wrong.
When you got out, you went to therapy, right? What happened?
The first 2 years, it went pretty good. I was doing pretty well. And then it became monotonous, kind of. And I just started taking everything for granted that was going on there. And what I had learned well, but I just lost interest. And then at that time I started to relapse. I'd gotten into drugs. By this time I'd got really heavy into drugs, started dealing drugs, methamphetamines, and started offending again. I was having sex with whoever I could and manipulating situations with my previous victim so that I could have sex with her again, and she was still under the age. I was doing all right for a while, and then I just fell right back into it, and when I fell back into it pretty hard.
What's it like as a sex offender moving back to your home area where everybody knows you?
All my family's from around here. So there's people that know who I am, and there's people that don't, and there's people that have heard my name, so whenever they hear my name, well, then they respond. Some people are okay, you know, some people look at you and say, you know, okay, so you did it, and here you are today, and you're doing okay. Some people just can't get over that. You know, they think there's no hope for anybody. And there's very few people that'll say, hey, you know, you're not that bad a guy. Yeah, you had some trouble, but you're not that bad a guy. There's not a lot of people that'll come to that. There's more people that seem to want to hold that against you and let that strap you down.
And your family?
My relationship with my half-sisters is none. My stepmother, I can talk to her, but we really don't have a relationship at all either. My dad, I get along with my dad. I can't get real personal with my dad. I wake up every once in a while wondering why I'm so far away. Very lonely. I'm lonely for my family. I mean, no matter what you do, that's you know, you only get one family, and you only get one mom, you only get one dad, you know. And granted, you might have a few brothers and sisters, but it's only one family, you know, and you can only do so much with them and so much for them and so much together. And I feel I've kind of cheated myself out of a lot of that. And then I wouldn't blame anyone else for that. I guess a lot of that I have to accept.
Was it hard to get work?
Well, ever since I was about 20, when my name had been in the newspaper a few times. They've done me a lot of good, the newspaper. Wadena Pioneer Journal especially. Yeah, I've been to a few jobs. You know, I'd go to interviews and, you know, everything sound great until they look at my application and see my name on there. And, you know, it seems like a few people, as soon as they realized who I was or knew who I was, they weren't interested. And, you know, I think I lost out on a few good jobs just because of my name being in the paper and people knowing who I was, you know. And again, I can't blame anybody else for that. I was a bad egg. That's the reality of it for a long time. And I wouldn't blame anybody for not hiring me. I wouldn't have hired me. And here I am today starting my own business. And I look at potential employees, and I wouldn't hire me.
What do you have to do to keep yourself out of trouble, to keep it from happening all over again?
A high-risk situation for me would be any kind of depression, being alone with a female. My mind gets tempted to toy with their mind, and once you start toying with their mind, well, then you figure out how easy it is to manipulate them. So I don't allow myself in a situation with any females.
Will you explain this to your kids as they grow up?
I believe that yes, I will explain these things to them. Because I guess I'll try to reach them before anybody else does, because you know other people are going to run into them and say, oh, your dad's the one that did this or that or this or that, you know. And I guess I'd like to be the one to have the opportunity to explain to them first what happened and to the best of my knowledge, why